Hey everybody, I'm the baby of the family, I guess. Majority of you probably, I guess, were doing this, that I'm the Penn State guy and the guy who joined the Army, so we'll see. You know, growing up, a boy's father is always his favorite hero. You know, we never really got into Superman or Spider-Man or any of those guys because we had Dad. And it's not because of any special superpowers, even though they often seem like the strongest men on Earth, or at least I knew I thought my dad was. But it's because they're real. The lessons they teach, though sometimes difficult, and the love they show are real. This relationship was no different between my father and me. Whether it was how he could pick me up with one arm and give me what seemed like the world's biggest hug, or how he could chain my bike to his on a long bike ride and simply tell me to steer and he would do the rest. My father was always there for me to support me, teach me, and guide me, some cases pull me kicking and screaming down the right path. As I got older, the inevitable thing happened. I realized that he was, in fact, not the strongest man alive, and that he was not as perfect as I had actually imagined. He was, after all, human. And so began middle school. No. Now, don't get me wrong. My dad and I don't think, ever went through a phase where we did not speak. I just had to figure out who I was going to be, and I didn't necessarily always want him to be a part of that planning process. But even through the fog of the evident overdose of male hormones, my father was patient, and he was there for me, ready, waiting, for the day that I was ready to listen once again. The day I came home ready to listen was a day that many of us, young and old alike, turned to our elders. September 11th, 2001, was a day that would dramatically change both of our lives and bring me and him even closer together. It was shortly after that day, seeing how upset and saddened he was by the loss of his many friends, that I made a promise from son to father that I would do my part to get these people and bring them to justice. It may seem like a bold claim from a freshman in high school. And indeed, it probably was. But my father knew, just as I did, that one more layer of cement in my life foundation had just been laid. As I prepared to leave for college, I will never forget the words he said to me as we were stuck in traffic on I-80 trying to get to Penn State. He said, "You know, I've spent my whole life trying to teach you life lessons to get you ready to go out and be successful on your own. And I feel like my job is done." Little did I know that his most impressive and important lesson was yet to come. College was a different animal for me. I joined the Army and was actively involved in ROTC. I was a neuroscience major and was struggling academically for the first time in my life. And with the challenge of trying to figure out what made those East Coast girls tick. Through all of it, my dad had stories and advice that only he, it seemed, could offer up in times of need. If I had done poorly on an exam or in a class, he inevitably would tell me, "You know, when I first got hired in the insurance industry, they asked me what I thought of the interview process." And he told them that he was bummed that they didn't ask him his GPA. And they would respond with a chuckle, say, "Mike, welcome to the real world. You're working for C students." The point of that story, or so he always told me, was that in college, grades are not all that's important, though they are important. He said, "You need to learn how to work with and socialize with people. People." And wow. And looking around the room today, it's very evident that my father definitely had people figured out. My dad used to tell people that I was in catch and release mode with the women in my life. As those days ended, my dad knew I was officially on the hunt for a wife. He again would offer his 2 cents, as John points out, even though they weren't always welcome in my regards to a dating life. But I would admit they were needed. He would ask me one simple question with a grin. "Is she a faucet or a drain?"
There's a theme. Does she fill you up and make you more than you are without her? Or does she just drain your energy and generosity? I broke up with a few girls based on that advice. And after thinking about the question, I knew that my father had once again given the advice necessary and stepped in and guided my path in the correct direction. It wasn't until my fourth year of college. Sorry, I have to say that. I was on the 5-year plan. Thanks again for your patience. That things really started to change. I met a lovely girl, my faucet. Her name's Kelsey. But that was not the biggest change. I had just finished a class on neurological disorders and had been on the phone with my mother. And she told me, describing how it was the oddest thing, he had a weakness in his just his right hand and arm. And I asked her to immediately put my father on the phone to get more information, and he calmly, matter of fact, same way as I'm sure he did with you, John, just said, yeah, this is what's happening. I don't quite understand it. And I told him that what he described to me sounded like ALS, and that he had to go to a neurologist right away. My dad, not being a big fan of doctors, sorry if there's any here, decided that, maybe he's right. I got to go to see somebody. So he went, and he received an official diagnosis several months later after that phone conversation. Before, when I said that the most important lesson was yet to come, well, this is where it began. My father, my childhood hero, the strongest man alive as far as I was concerned, was ill. He was ill with a disease that we knew had no cure, and he did not simply continue on with his life. He began to truly live. Two hardest things for my father to give up, as most of you I'm sure know, was working at Hayes and golfing. The last game of golf I ever played with my father was the first game of golf in which I ever beat the man. And shortly after receiving his diagnosis with ALS, he promptly told me that that must have been the reason I had beaten him. He's always got an excuse. Where was I? Sorry. I understood why giving up golf was so hard. But I couldn't understand at the time why he insisted on working as long as he had. Not until I graduated anyway. I graduated college in May of 2010. I had 9 months to wait until I could begin my infantry training down in Fort Benning, Georgia. Those 9 months turned out to be one of the biggest blessings of my life. I got to come home, stay with my parents, and get a job. So, Dad nudged me again, and I got a job with Hayes. And my first day of work, as it may turn out, was my father's last. My, in fact, first task as an employee at Hayes was to help my dad clear out his office. And it was tough. He didn't want to leave. So as I placed the things in the back of his truck, no words were spoken. No words needed to be spoken. I knew it was hard for him to walk away. I could see it in his eyes. Over the following months, I began to understand why it was hard for him to leave. The people at Hayes were like a second family to him. They were, in many cases, not just his co-workers, but they were his best friends. My father had a huge heart. He truly loved the people there like brothers and sisters, like the family that they were for him. Every day, I would come home from work, and he would ask me about the latest going-ons around the office. And, I was happy to oblige him with the rumors and stories of the day. I know it made him happy to see how much I enjoyed working there. In February, I left for Fort Benning for training. I held back my emotions as I drove away, knowing that things were about to change. I was fortunate to be able to come home and visit a couple times before his passing. I know that everyone in this room will miss my father, each for their own reasons. I'm going to miss his stories, even though I'm sure I've heard them at least 100 times, each a little more unique than the last. Going out to lunch or dinner with him, and simply just sitting down and talking and getting his advice. And I'll never forget the way that he handled his situation. He never let ALS control his life. He was always so positive. He took the opportunity to connect with old friends. Never thought, I met friends of his from high school. And get in closer touch with his faith. My dad was a big enough man to count the disease that took his life as one of the greatest blessings of his life, which forced him to focus on what was truly important: his faith, his family, his friends, and his ability to have fun. And that is the reason that I had more respect for my father the past 2 years as he dealt with ALS than I had my entire life. And that is why he left this world the same person he was when I came in, when he came into it, and when I came into it, my hero.